Hey, that's all right. Good morning, everybody. No, hey, y'all just keep on fellowship. Look, I'm going to tell you, if anybody's cold, come sit up here if you want to. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it is warm. I'm going to give that two syllables today, warm up here. Amen. But hey, how many of you are glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. Guys, I hope you had a good week. Everybody have a good week. How many of you had a good week last week? Amen. How many of you had a bad week?
Wheezy. Okay.
We're going to pray for
I'm
you.
I'm trying to do, Mr. Jackie.
It's okay. Please do not shove another client down a flight of stairs, though, whatever
well,
you do.
Shove
amen.
Mr. Jack down a flight
okay.
of stairs.
Don't believe what I say. We just joke around all the time. Amen. Isn't it good to laugh?
Amen.
Laughter's good, right? It's good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me today to Acts chapter 22.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We're going to talk today on the topic of, is your past defining you or refining you? I want you to think about that for a minute. Because, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the past, don't they? I mean, let's face it. We've all got things in our past that we're not happy about. I know I do. And I think everybody in here could give testimony to the fact that there's something in your past that you're not really proud of. But guys, let me tell you something. When you know Jesus as your Savior, the old is gone and the new has come. Amen?
Amen.
That's the important thing you got to understand. Hey, yeah, our past is going to be that. It's in the past. And let's keep it there. But let's learn from it. Let's let it refine us and not define us. Because you see, guys, we don't want to be controlled by things that are gone, things that God is helping get us past. You know, your past may have been a place where you saw your family disintegrate and break apart before your very own eyes. But I'll get it out in a minute, amen. I'm surprised somebody didn't laugh about that because they always own me about stuttering sometimes. Amen. The Holy Spirit gets on you, you start stuttering, amen. Stuttering and stammering. But anyway, you know, it could have been the disintegration of your family. It could have been the demons of alcohol, drug abuse, pornography, you name it. That could have been what your past was about. But you know, when the cleansing blood of Jesus covers you and you accept Him as your Savior, that's all washed away.
Amen.
And that's a great thing to know. I get a lot of comfort from that because, you know, just think about it. What if we had to earn our way into heaven? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Because some of us have got so many things in our past, it'd be hard to get past those, wouldn't it? But guys, Jesus paid it all. We don't have to do anything but accept Him as our Savior and serve Him, and it's taken care of. It's just that simple. Why don't more people do that? That's a good question, isn't it? You ever thought about that? Salvation is so simple. The rewards are so great. Why don't more people do it? Why don't more people accept Jesus? You know, people have been predestined before they were even in existence as to whether or not they're going to accept Jesus as their Savior. We don't know who they are. Jesus, God knows. But it's our job to continue to spread the gospel, right? We're going to continue to do that, hoping that some people will come on board here. Guys, whatever your past involves, I'm here to tell you today, it does not have to define you. It does not have to define you. Now, here's the problem we got in society today. We got a lot of people who want to associate your past with your present. How many of you know some people like that that still want to blame you for things that might have happened 30 years ago before you ever even knew who Jesus was? So some people are going to hold on to that and they're going to believe that that's who you are no matter how much you disprove that. Hey, you just got to keep moving on, guys. Some people are going to be that way. Some people are going to continue to define you based on your past. But guys, you know what's going on in your heart. You know if your past is refining you or if it's defining you. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at this morning at a man who's very familiar to everybody. I believe everybody has heard of the Apostle Paul. But I don't know if you heard so much about Saul before he became Paul. We're going to look at that today and we're going to see how this man's past did not define him, but it certainly helped refine him. So let's look in our Bibles, Acts chapter 22. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to read a little bit in God's Word here, probably the first 10 verses of Acts chapter 22. Let's look at verses 1 through 10. It says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Father God, Lord, please want to add your blessings, Lord, to the reading of your word today. Lord, let it be nothing about me or anything that we can do here today, but let it be all about you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, Saul began his life as we all began ours, not knowing Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. We don't know Jesus when we're born. Guys, we're born into a fleshly, temporal body. We're born into a body that is stained by sin. Saul was no different. But you know the funny thing about Saul? Here's the real kicker. He was serving God. In his own mind, he was serving God and he was doing what God had called him to do. He was rounding up all these Christians and putting them in prison and some of them even being killed in the name of God. It even says in his word, hey, I was zealous for God. I was on fire for God. But he couldn't even realize that Jesus, the very man that he was arresting people for following, was God. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. Wrap your mind around that for just a minute. He was a Jew who was entrusted with rounding up these people who proclaimed Jesus and sending them off to prison, some of them to be killed. We're talking about Paul now in his former state of Saul here. I think it's important to note here that we, as was Saul, are all sinners, guys. We all are. You know, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So, you know, our past should never be indicative of where we're moving in our life as born-again believers. So all we got to do is call upon the name of the Lord and we will be saved. It doesn't say you might be if you do good enough. It doesn't say you could be if you give enough to the church. It doesn't say you possibly will be. It says, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. So you see, that's what it's all about. But hey, we're all sinners, guys. We're all in this thing together. We all have a side that if we did not bring it under the control of the Holy Spirit would cause us to act in a manner that's unpleasing to God. We all have that side. We all have that nature. You know how we're able to control our fleshly desires and the things that are going on and are battling within us? We have the Holy Spirit of God helping bring it under control. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit of God? Say amen. Amen. Let me tell you something, guys. That is your director, if you want to call it that. Your CEO of your life. That Holy Spirit, man, he's in there and he's directing you and he's guiding you. So you see, the Holy Spirit of God is our lamp. That is what is going to help us get through this world. And that's what's going to help us get past our past, so to speak. Guys, you see, Saul, he was doing what he thought was right. He was doing what he thought was the thing to do to serve his fellow Jews and to please God. The problem was he needed to understand that God was the very person he was persecuting. See, the Jews didn't understand this. Now, some of them that came to know Jesus, they understood it. They understood and believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Saul was, in his own way of thinking, serving God. In his own way of thinking, he was doing what God wanted him to do. Get rid of these blasphemous people that are trying to say that this man Jesus was the Son of God. We don't believe that, but in reality, that's exactly what he did. He was persecuting God, is what he was doing. Maybe you've never done anything as bad as Saul, but guys, let me tell you something. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Amen. We have all done that. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all need a Savior who can bring us and bring about constant changes in our life. You know, Saul loved what he was doing, and he thought that that was helpful for his Jewish community. You know, sometimes we justify things in our past, don't we? Well, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody come up to me and say, well, I just don't know if I'll ever get past that. I don't know if I'll ever be able to overcome that. I don't know if I can ever, you know, if God will ever forgive me for that. Let me tell you something. It's already been forgiven. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. Amen. It's already been forgiven. You don't have to go to this person. You don't have to go to that person. You cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm turning my life over to you. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life from this day forward. And everything is wiped clean. Can you find that anywhere else in the world? Can you find anybody that will forgive you of whatever you've done to them or done to somebody else and just wipe it clean and forget about it? No, it's not going to happen, is it? People are going to hold grudges against you. They're going to hold things against you. But Jesus holds nothing against you. That ought to be worth an amen, right? Hey, he holds nothing against you. Your slate has been wiped clean. So you see, that's what we got to understand here. The problem we have a lot of times, we want to justify our behavior by comparing it with the rest of the world. Forget about this world and all the sin involved with it. Forget about trying to please people in this world. Your number one job as a born-again believer is to please Jesus. Amen. That's what your job is. And in doing so, guess what? You're going to please fellow believers and other people that are around you. It's not your job to make everybody happy in this world. You say, well, preacher, that sounds harsh. No, we're to be in this world, not of this world. Now, we're not to be purposefully mean to people. But remember, I've told you time and time again, we must learn to love some people from a distance with a godly love, but not an up close and personal kind of love. I mean, guys, let's face it. If our mission in life is, I want to be friends with everybody because I don't want anybody to not like me. Then guess what you're doing? You're saying to God that, God, I know you told me not to hang around these people, but I'm going to do it anyway. You're mocking God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not mistaken, God shall not be mocked. There's a lot of people in this world mocking God, aren't there? There's a lot of people that are doing things their own way, thinking that it's okay, God's going to be happy with me. No, he's not. To be friends with the world is to be what with God? Enemies of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So guys, listen. Don't compare yourself with the rest of the world. And we may have even felt like, oh, well, I'm not nearly as bad as so-and-so over here. I'm not nearly as bad as this sister over here or that brother over there. They've done some really bad things. Let me tell you something. Sin is sin. Amen? I don't care if you think it's the least little sin or the greatest sin in the world. If it's left unconfessed and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's going to land you in one place, and that's called hell. That's a cold, hard reality, guys. But you can be forgiven for that. Jesus loves you. He'll forgive you for that. You got to believe that. And you got to trust in that. It's very easy to get complacent with a lifestyle, a certain lifestyle, and allow it to define who we are. Think about people right here in this community. I'm not going to call any names. I don't want you to call any names. But think of some people that have been labeled based on their lifestyle. And it's following them everywhere they go. Some of them haven't done anything to try to make it better either. Let's be honest here. But it's really not our job to be running around saying, hey, you don't want to hang around so-and-so there, blah, blah, blah. It certainly pays for us to pay attention to who we hang around with. But guys, some people's lifestyle just labels them. And their past labels them. I do believe, guys, I believe that our past can definitely dictate our outcome if we're not careful. Now, I don't believe that when we're born, or we get up every day to go to work, that it is our goal to be inherently bad. I don't believe that. I don't believe people are born serial killers. I don't believe people are born murderers and rapists and things like that. These are things that happen to them along the way, probably, number one, because they don't know Jesus. And number two, probably because of things that went on within the family unit. People did not care about them. They felt secluded. Guys, their past was never able to propel them into their future. So this is a problem we're dealing with here. You know, Saul thought he was doing good for God when in fact he was destroying what Jesus had done. He was taking people to prison, the very people that Jesus came in and helped save. As we move through life, guys, we can continue traveling the same road each day. Or guys, we can realize there is a better life awaiting us. How many of you are glad you found a better way of life?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, it's there. It's waiting on us. We got to take it by the horn, so to speak. We got to let God lead us down that path that's going to get us to where He wants us to be. Yes, there's going to be bumps in the road. Yes, there's going to be valleys along the way. But in the end, there will be peace in that valley. Amen. There will be peace on that mountaintop. So you see, guys, we just got to keep on keeping on. We cannot let our past define us. Some of you just keep living in the past, feeling sorry for yourself. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Get up out of the ashes and be something for God today.
Amen.
Amen. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. People like that who want to just sit around and feel sorry for themselves are never going to get where God wants them to be. They're looking for a pity party, and some of us are quick to give it to them, aren't we? Guys, don't let your past define you. As you look back on your past, you should be able to see those defining moments when you knew that your lifestyle was not what God wanted for you. Think about it, guys. Think about when you got saved. Those of you that know Jesus right now, think about when you got saved. What was that defining moment that let you know, I'm tired of who I am? I'm tired of my past, and I want something brighter ahead in my future. Think about that for a minute. Think about how God helped transform you and helped create a new creature in you when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You know, Saul was no different. Guys, as he was heading down that road to Damascus, just imagine this. He's heading down with a group of people, and guess what he was heading to go do? Arrest some more believers, throw some more people in prison, perhaps even have some of them killed. But oh, God had a different plan for old Saul, didn't he?
Amen.
You glad God had a different plan for you in your life than where you first started?
Amen.
Amen. He's got a plan for you, and guess what? That plan ain't over yet. You know how I know that? Because you're here today, amen. You are here today. Your plan's not done yet. You're still here. You may say, well, I'm too old for this and that. No, you're not. God's not done with you yet. He's still working in your life. See, Saul was going down that road. He was fixing to head down there and round up more Christians. But his story changed forever. Man, could you imagine walking down the road to Damascus and all of a sudden this blinding light just engulfs you to the point that it actually made him physically blind? And then to top that off, think of what his friends were thinking. They could see the light, but they couldn't hear Jesus' voice. Jesus was saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He's like, Lord, who is this? Jesus said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the one you are persecuting. And from that point on, Saul's life was never the same again. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, your life will never be the same again. You're putting off the old and putting on the new. And see, that's exactly what happened with Saul here. His story changed forever. At that moment, Saul saw the light. And I put it here literally and physically. He literally saw a blinding light, and physically he was blinded by it. Of course, that was temporary. That was temporary. His life made a 180-degree turn in the opposite direction. That moment had come that would change him forever. And from then on, Saul became Paul. How many of you became a different person when you knew Jesus and accepted Him? Hey, we didn't change our physical name, but we changed who we are. Guys, if you hadn't changed who you are, you hadn't got the picture yet. You don't understand what it's all about. In Christ, we are new creatures. The old is gone, the new has come. That's the way it is, guys. And that's what happened to old Saul here. And from that point on, he was no longer called Saul. He was called Paul. And let me tell you something. If you know anything about Paul, he was probably one of the most powerful men of the New Testament. He wrote a great majority of the New Testament. Paul did not go without suffering, though. But let me tell you something. He was probably the greatest missionary in the Bible. Probably the greatest missionary in the Bible. Your defining moment might not have been as spectacular as Paul's, but guys, it was life-changing nonetheless. Your experience with Jesus was life-changing. You might say, well, preacher, my life's still not real good. Well, think of where it'd be without Jesus, amen? You define good by what you have in your wallet. You define good by what you go in and sleep in every night. You define good by what you drive around in. Guess what the alternative could be? You could be homeless, you could be hungry, and you could have no transportation. Amen? So don't be upset with what you don't have. Be thankful for what you do have. Amen? Amen. See, that's the problem we get into a lot of times. We think, oh, well, things haven't really changed for me. Oh, yeah, they have. You know why you don't notice it as much? Because you don't want to let go and let God have control of your life. You don't want to let Him guide you down the paths He wants you to take. That's why you don't notice these life-changing things as much. Paul completely left his past on that road to Damascus. How many of you have left your past wherever it was? How many of you still dragging some baggage along with you? Guys, let me tell you something. Let go of that baggage. Let it lay in the road where you are, and then you can walk a little faster toward Jesus. When you're dragging that baggage along with you, you're never going to stay focused on where Jesus wants you to go. You know why? Because when you're pulling something heavy, what happens? You always got to keep looking back at it, right? You know what Paul said? I look ahead. I'm not looking back anymore. I'm looking ahead toward that prize that one day I'm going to get. I'm not looking back from where to where I came from. I'm looking ahead. Guys, I want to close out today by asking you some things. Have you stepped out of your past? Or are you still letting it be an excuse for why you are not achieving greatness in the kingdom? God wants you to be great. He wants you to be great. He don't want you to be mediocre. He wants you to be great. You know why you're not, you know why you're not achieving that greatness? Because you're still trying to drag some of the old self with you. Let it go. Jesus paid the price for that old self on Calvary. It's over with. It's done. It's forgiven. Don't let the devil play with your mind and try to make you think you're still a terrible person. Because that's exactly what he'll do. You know, there's an old saying, if you give the devil an inch, he'll be your ruler. Think about that. He will. Don't let him bring up those things in your past. You know why? Because it's just that. It's in the past. You're not going to change it, but I hope it changed you. Amen. That's what I'm trying to talk about today. Don't let it define you. Let it refine you. It can be difficult, guys, when you step out of your past way of life into the light that Jesus wants you to follow. You know, Paul faced a tough world. As soon as he had this conversion experience along the road to Damascus, people didn't believe in him right away. They were still scared of him. They were still like, wait a minute, Jesus. You know what you're asking me here? You're asking me to go fellowship and have something to do with this guy who was trying to come throw me in prison. I don't know about that. But guys, I can promise you this. You know when Jesus has changed somebody. You know it. You can look at them. They're happy. They got that look about them. They got that air about them. They're not walking around with their face all down in the ground, all frowned up and everything. They're joyful. They're showing the fruit of the Spirit. But Paul was not immediately accepted by the rest of the apostles and disciples. But you know what? That did not deter him from doing what Jesus had called him to do. See, Paul was called to bring the word to the Gentiles. Paul was called to bring the word to those hated people that the Jews wanted nothing to do with. But that was his mission. And boy, did he do a great job of it. Amen. Think about what all Paul did. Look at all the churches he helped start. Look at the missionary work he did. And this, a man who was before just dragging people off and throwing them in prison who loved Jesus. Then he became one of the most zealous people for Jesus ever. Now that's crazy, isn't it? Try explaining that story to somebody on the street. Hey, I know this guy, his name was Saul. He used to beat up Christians, throw them in prison, kill them. And all of a sudden he saw a light and he found Jesus. And then he started preaching and he ended up dying eventually for serving Jesus. They'll look at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about? But that's the way his story was. That's what happened to him. Guys, he turned around in that roadway and for the remainder of his life, he lived it completely for Jesus. He left everything behind and kept moving ahead toward that prize. You know what? When I get to heaven one day, I sure want to sit down and talk to Paul a little bit. I just want to ask him some questions. I want to just ask him what it was like to get blinded and hear Jesus' voice telling you, hey, you're fixing to turn around here, buddy. I got something in store for you. It's going to be fun to be able to sit there and fellowship with some of these icons that we've been reading about our whole life here. Guys, if you're a child of God, your past is just that. It's the past. Don't keep living in it. In Christ, we're new creatures. The old is gone, the new has come. Guys, let me tell you something, and I'm done. If you are stuck in your past, then you are letting it define you. If you're stuck in your past, you're letting it define you. But if you're looking at your past as a motivating factor to be all that you can be for Jesus, then it is refining you. I ask you that simple question. Is your past defining you and who you are and who you're going to end up being? Or has it refined you into the creature that Jesus wants you to continue to be? That's your choice, guys. You're going to let the past kick your tail every day? People, you walk down the street, I wonder if they're thinking about what I used to do. Who cares what they think, amen? I don't care what people think about me. As long as they know I got my eyes focused on Jesus, that's what's important. You know, I may have been... wait a minute, let me reword that. I was about to say I may have been the town drunk, and I wasn't. Okay. And I'm using this figuratively, right? I may have been the town drunk, but when I got Jesus in my life, that was left behind at the bar. I've moved on to something greater. So who cares what people think about me? You know, that's one of the problems we have in the world today. We don't take time to get to know people who had a storied past, do we? We don't want to associate with them. Oh, they're unclean. Let's don't fool with them. Gee, when you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you're just as clean as anybody else. Amen. In fact, you're even cleaner than a lot of them. You know? So, guys, don't let your past define you. I'm going to tell you what. As for me, I'm going to continue that refining process. I'm going to continue to let Jesus refine me until I take my last breath. And if it gets any hotter up here, it's going to be real quick. Amen. Guys, I'm done here today. Listen to me. We're in a new year now. You know, I told you I like to use the month of January to kind of kickstart us into a new year. Think about it. Are you being all you can be for Jesus? Are you holding out on Him some? Are you not just letting go and letting Him have complete control of your life? Guys, I struggle with things like that. There's certain areas in my walk that I struggle with. And I need to keep praying about them. And I want this new year to be different. We all have issues and things that we want to improve on. But guys, the main thing is this. Don't let what has happened to you in the past continue to drag you down. Let it lift you up. Let it make you so determined that you're going to prove everybody wrong and you're going to please Jesus with all your heart that that's what you set out to do from the moment you wake up until the time you go to bed at night. You're going to continue to serve Jesus. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. I just roll over and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for even letting me sleep at night. Just be thankful for what He's done for you. And guys, always, always, let your past keep refining you. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for old Paul, Lord, who we used to know as Saul. What an awesome story that was, God, of, Lord, a man who was just a terrible person by the world standards. He just was, you know, he thought he was doing so much for You, Lord, but he didn't realize he was actually persecuting You by what he did. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that You loved him enough and knew that You had a plan for him that no matter what he did to your people, you still got him in a right relationship with you. And I'm just praying here today, Lord, if there's anybody here today that is struggling with their past, that doesn't want to let go of some of the things in their past, or that still thinks that these things are following them, Lord, help them to come up here and lay it down at this altar. Father God, Lord, I just give you the praise, and I thank you for each and every person that's here. And I just pray, Lord, that when we leave this place today, we will not leave it the way we came in it. That we will leave being transformed and challenged to go out into this world and share the gospel, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
423.
423. Let's stand and sing. 423. The altar is open, as always.